We've got the teenagers in today, so they've got special treats. I see there's cakes going. Goodness me, there's all kinds of things going on down here. But you wish you were a teenager, don't you? Great. We're really excited today because Regina's going to be sharing with us. And I know that certainly last time that she was sharing with us, very powerfully touched us as church individuals in a really deep way. So we're very excited to be able to welcome Regina today to come and share with us. Let's pick a big hand for Regina. Come on down.
Thank you, everybody. Good morning. Thank you, New Life, for giving me another opportunity really to share with you what God is really doing in my life. He's doing my life, and I was preparing something else to talk for this talk today, and God just said, just share what I'm doing in your life. Be honest and be yourself. And yesterday, he reminded me that today I'm talking to family. You are my family, and we have a good relationship. And I'll be sharing my heart with you and what God's really doing in it. Hopefully, you'll be blessed as well. I'm going to be talking from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, we have in here, from verses 1 to 43. Now, it's a long passage. I'm not going to read them all, just some verses as we go along. Now, let's pray, shall we? Father, we are very thankful for your presence here with us. You are such a good Father. I just pray that you come today, you open our hearts, our minds, our eyes, so we can see the goodness of who you are. Jesus, you are welcome here. Just come and glorify the Father. Come, Jesus. We expecting you to move in our lives in power, in freedom, Lord. And just fall afresh on us, Holy Spirit, as well. We need the power. We need you. Just come, Father. And I pray in Jesus' name that our minds will be kept, Lord Jesus, in full attention to the word that will set us free. I pray, Father, for any spirit of unbelief to leave this place in Jesus' name, so the word will be sown in our hearts, will grow in faith, and our faith will go deep into the knowledge of who you are. In Jesus' name, just come, Father. You are welcome here and glorify your name. Amen. Well, weeks ago, I have to say, I was in bed trying to sleep, but I couldn't. So I prayed a very simple prayer. I said, Lord Jesus, please help me to sleep. But he didn't. Instead, he started to talk to me. And as he was talking to me and showing me things in my heart, I confess, I said, Lord, I'm so tired. Can I just not sleep? Can we talk tomorrow? But I think he had odd ideas. He didn't answer me. He just kept talking. In fact, what I wrote here is my conversation with Lord Jesus that night. And he opened my eyes to see this passage of John 11 in a very different way. And the way that he presented that passage was as if in a boxing match. And I don't like boxing, to be honest with you. I don't think that's a sport. But my husband over there, he loves it. He loves boxing. And, you know, in August, we went to Las Vegas to visit family. And my husband went bananas when he saw this poster. If you can move on. When he saw this poster in Las Vegas. And there was a big fight going on between McGregor, who is Irish, and Mayweather. I know, that's my burden, let his imagination, you know. He's ready for action. Anyway, I don't know much about boxing, but one thing that I know, I think, the rules are very simple. The strongest wins, and the weakest loses. I think that's very simple. But even though the strongest, in that case, Mayweather, wins, very often he has bruises, scars, and hurts all over his body. And then Jesus reminded me, that's our walk in life. Sometimes we go through life and we fight so much and we have bruises, wounds, but he wants to heal them. And that was my conversation with the Lord. At the end, he told me, Regina, hope is worth fighting for. And then the fighting I'm going to present you today is not that fight, but it's fight against between hope versus disappointment. But what is disappointment? I look in the Cambridge Dictionary and says disappointment is to be sad or displeased because someone or something has failed to fulfill one's hopes or expectations. That's disappointment, is when we hope for something and it didn't happen or doesn't happen. And then you are hit with this emotion that we call disappointment. Now, we don't normally, we are taught, or maybe life teaches us, that you have to be scared of your feelings. And we don't have to be scared of our feelings. Disappointment is not a sin. It's just something that hits you when you're expecting something and doesn't happen. But what we do with disappointment, that's the big problem. That's the big question. What do you do with your disappointments? Who hasn't been disappointed here? I have, loads of times. And people disappoint us. You know, you put your expectations in people and they disappoint you. In fact, when I told you in the beginning that I wanted to sleep and the Lord wanted to talk to me, it was because my heart was full of disappointment. And he knew I was going through a very difficult time, that especially with someone who really, really disappointed me or my family. And, you know, I just was struggling not to get bitter. It's just disappointment. My heart was full of them. And God started to open it and show me, you have to fight for hope, Regina. You cannot allow disappointment to get deep into your heart. So I did. But we get disappointed with ourselves as well. We set expectations and we can't meet them. Sometimes our expectations are too high. We have to be kind to ourselves, you know. But sometimes, even in our walk with Jesus, you know, ask my husband. Every morning I prayed, Lord, help me to be just like you. Sweet, nice, you know. And then if he does anything that I don't like, you know, it's true. I mean, it's quicker than my thoughts. My reaction, you know, sometimes can be quicker than my prayers or anything. And I disappoint myself. I come to a sense and say, God, please help you even more. Help me here. But, you know, we have, again, to be honest with ourselves, be honest with the Lord, and want to be better, if we can, if I say so. But circumstances beyond our control disappoint us as well. You know, it can be a death of a loved one in your family that hit you badly, a missing promotion in your job, or a failing an exam, or West Ham losing again. You wrote that. See, that's what happens when you ask your husband to check your work. He's very disappointed today, bless him. Needs healing. Sorry. But we all have wounds in our heart that comes from disappointment after disappointment. And if we are not careful, disappointment becomes bitterness, and bitterness, unforgiveness. And this leads us to sin. So we have to make a choice how we deal with our disappointments. Do you hold on to them? Do you listen to disappointment in our lives? Or we allow Jesus to come and heal our wounds. Now, can you picture what is going on here in this passage? Jesus loved Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha. In verse 3, says, so the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. The one you love is sick. The family, that family, was struck with something beyond their control. Lazarus was very ill, but then the sisters sent for help. And they asked help for someone who they knew could help them. That was Jesus, because they have seen Jesus healing other people before. In verse 4, when Jesus got the news, he said that the sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. And in verse 6, yet. That yet there says that something happened that shouldn't have happened. Yet, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Now, can you imagine? I love reading the Bible and putting feelings into people's hearts. Can you imagine those sisters? They sent a word to Jesus, Lazarus, the one you love is sick. I'm sure they were expecting him, Jesus, to hurry back immediately to their house to heal, to do something for Lazarus. But he didn't. They didn't hear Jesus saying that. The sisters didn't hear when Jesus says, the sickness will not end into death. They were there waiting for Jesus, waiting for help. They're waiting for one day, no help. They waited for 2 days. He didn't appear. By then, the brother was dead. They waited for 3 days. No Jesus. Have you felt like that before? Have you felt in your own life like the sisters, when you pray, and feels like Jesus never comes? Where is he? What's he doing? I felt like that many times. And we have to be honest with him. He knows our heart anyway. We have to come to Jesus and say, look, where are you? I'm praying, I'm desperate. Where are you? Can you come and help me? I told my testimony here before last year, how I got married very young, for you who don't know me. I got married when I was 18 in Brazil, to 18 years old as well. And we were very young. And we had a 10 years marriage, very unhappy marriage. I became a believer before him, and God changed my life. But then I started to pray for him. And, you know, he was a very difficult person, very unfaithful, and sometimes violent. And I stayed with him because God asked me to stay with him. And I believed that God was going to save him. And after many years praying, he became a believer. And I couldn't believe. You know, when you pray for something for desperate and something happens, you couldn't believe. But he really gave his life to Jesus. And then I thought in my heart, I've had my heart full of expectations. I say, wow, now together, we are going to be a lovely family, lovely Christian family. We had 2 lovely boys. And I thought, that's it now. We are going to be so happy and we are going to serve God, you know, me, my husband, my family. And then 6 months later, after he accepted Jesus, he died. He died in a boat accident with another 2 friends. He was 28, very young, same age as me. And at 28, I was a widow with 2 small boys. And the disappointment really hit me hard. And I said, God, what happened? What happened? Why did I have to suffer so much to see him saved? When he's saved, he's gone. And I can tell you one thing. In all my whys to Jesus, asking him what happened, he didn't answer many of them. But one thing he showed me, that he can, if we allow him, change difficulties in opportunities. Because I decided not to listen to disappointment that time, but to trust God. Like these sisters here, they didn't hear what Jesus said previously about her brother. The sickness is not into death. But they decided to trust Jesus somehow. they decided to try. And if you are in a situation struck by something that happened to you and you have no idea why, what's going on, can I encourage you to trust God, trust Jesus? He's never late. He's never late. Because he knows the future, he knows when to come. We don't know the future, do we? But he does. And because he has that knowledge, he can wait. We can't, but he can. We just have to say, God, help me to wait your time. Because his time is always perfect. Just wait for him. If you don't know what's going on in your life right now, don't lose heart. In verse 7, Jesus told his disciples that they were going back to Bethany, the home of Lazarus. Then, for me, the story becomes very interesting. Jesus arrives in Bethany. He arrives in a place where not just Lazarus was dead, but hope was dead as well. Hope was dead in those people's hearts. If you hear the verse 17, he arrived in Bethany and found that Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. In verse 20, Martha went to meet Jesus where he was. See, she loved him, but she poured out her disappointment. She says in verse 21, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." That's a powerful sentence, powerful statement. If you have been here, my brother would not have died. Disappointment kills hope. That's what disappointment does. If you listen to it in your heart, if you pay attention to disappointment, it kills hope. As I said before, my husband died, and I was a widow with two young boys. One was 10, the other one was 6. And shortly after my husband's death, God called me for a full-time ministry. Now, I thought it was a joke, honestly. When he spoke to me and said, "I want you to work full-time for me," I thought he was, you know, having a joke or something. Because I thought, how could I? How can I? I have to work. I have to work to look after two boys. You know, I was on my own. I had no money. When you are 28 years old, you don't have pension, do you? You don't think you're going to die? I was left no money. And, you know, I always say that it's not condemnation, but I always thought, why don't you send all these young men, you know, over there? There are so many of them. Just send them, Lord. Leave me here with my boys. But he didn't. He said, "No, I want you. I want you to come and work for me full time." And the word he gave me was, "Trust me, I'll provide for you." And I put my trust completely on him. I trusted him. And I can tell you, it wasn't easy. Because, you know, children, they grow up, don't they? But their clothes don't. Their clothes don't grow with them. And lots of times, my children came to me and said, "Mom, my trainers is small." I said, "I don't have no money to buy." But I had prayed. I prayed. I learned to pray. I learned to pray. I learned to fast. I learned to, you know, go to God, say, "Look, you are my husband. They need clothes. You have to provide." And he did. He did provide in many different ways. I could sit with you and tell you loads of things that he did, how he provided for me, for my children, in all these years that I've been working for him full time. But one thing, when God started to talk to me about leaving my country, leaving Brazil, to work with other people, to show his love, to show salvation to other people, especially the people he put in my heart was the Kurdish and the Turkish people that I love so much. And my prayer was, "God, I'll go wherever you want me to go, but I don't want to go on my own. I need a husband, because I know in that culture, a husband is important. Because I need as well. I need a husband. I need someone." And he put that desire in my heart. Anyway, I left Brazil. I left my family, who I love so much. I left my comfort. I left my language. And I left all these things behind in obedience to God and came to England. I was going to Turkey with the two boys. Had stopped here for maybe a year and a half to learn English. And then when I was in Harpenden, in the Y1 base, there learning English, I met my second husband, Virgin, you know, that had the same love in his heart for the same group of people that God put in my heart. I thought, great, God's great, God's so faithful. We stayed a little bit more in Harpenden after we got married, and we went to Turkey in, correct me if I'm wrong, husband, I think was July 2003, yeah? Yes. And we went to Turkey, and we had a fantastic time. Him and I thought we were going to Turkey for a long time. We thought maybe we would die there, because that's our desire, to be in Turkey, to love people, to, you know, tell them about a wonderful Savior, bring light and all these things. And that was our expectation. We are going there to die. And we had a fantastic time, met lots of Kurdish and Turkish people. They were so kind to us. And we are able to share the love of God with so many of them in such a short time. Because a year and 2 months later, four months later, we had to come back. All our expectations were dashed away. We had to come back unexpectedly because of my eldest son had problem with the visa. We had to come back to England. Now listen, we went to Turkey with very little. We left everything behind. We gave away everything. And we were there prepared to give our lives away and finish there. When we came back to England, we had nothing. He and I, we were registered a homeless family because we had nowhere to stay. And the eldest boy was living with friends. And Virgin and I and my youngest son, we were sitting in a Ford Fiesta that was given to us. And all our world possession was in that car. Everything we had. Now, the two of us said, did we hear God really? Did we really hear God? Did he really tell us to go to Turkey? But he did. But you know, when disappointment hits you, we have a choice. What are you going to do? We didn't sit around, listen to disappointment, listen to our frustrations, listen just to what if, why? No, we trusted the Lord. We said, God, we don't understand, but we are going to trust you again. And he opened the door for us here in North London. We came to North London, those the two of us, and we prayed, you know, one way off the street, Green Lanes, and we prayed one way, and we prayed back the other way, until God opened a door for us. We spent 3 months just praying, that a door will open, until he opened the door. And we've been there, working and being more effective with the Kurds and the Turks here in London than in Turkey. How great God is. You know, if you don't listen to the disappointments in your life, but you give God, you trust him and say, God, your will be done. I don't understand. It's not easy. Don't think it was easy. We have to talk a lot. We have to deal with our own emotions and frustrations. But you cannot allow your disappointment, frustrations to go deep into your heart. And you get offended. Some people get offended with God. They run away from God. They leave. They think God got it wrong. But if you trust him, because he knows the future, he knows what he's doing, and he won't allow you to go through any situation that you are not able to go through and get the victory one way or another. And that's what he did for us. You see, disappointment tries to overshadow the goodness of God. And that's what disappointment was doing here with the two sisters. But the antidote for disappointment is hope. It's hope. And what is hope? Hope is the confident expectation of good things to happen. In verse 23, Jesus said, your brother will rise again. Fantastic. Your brother will rise again. And I believe here, Jesus is giving us two kinds of hope. Hope number one is hope for our future eternal lives. In verse 24, Martha said, I know my brother, he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? That's the question for today. Do you believe this? Do you believe what he said? I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus wants to give you and me this hope for our eternal lives. Now, the next slide. I love this picture. I know it's very graphic, but I love it. Jesus, the Son of God, came in flesh as a man without sin. He died on a cross for my sins, for your sins. He took over him the sins of humanity so we could be forgiven, so we could be friends with God again. And that's the hope that he gives us for our eternal life. Through Jesus' death, we find hope for our eternal life. Now, for 24 years of my life, I didn't have that hope. I didn't. I was scared to death. I hated it. I didn't want to think about death because I was scared. I was taught when I was little that I had to be good. I have to be very good. So once I died, once I got there, God will weigh my good deeds, my bad deeds. And if I was very, very good, he will allow me to go to heaven. And because I wasn't very good, I tried hard, believe me. I tried hard to be very good so I could go to heaven. But anything, any lie that I said, you know, anything. I remember when I was a teenager in college, you know, I was always, because I went to nuns, you know, Catholic nun school, and they were very rigid. But I remember I left school one day. I passed the supermarket, and you know the way they have paper bags a long time ago, it wasn't plastic, well, paper bags. I need a bag for something at school, but I went into the supermarket and I stole one. I didn't ask anybody. I was 11, I think. I stole one and I ran, and this guy saw me and he ran after me. And I was scared to death, run on the streets. Everybody knew me. And this man ran after me because of a plastic, you know, a paper bag. Can you imagine how embarrassed I was? I thought, I can't be good all the time. No chance for me to go to heaven. But one day, someone had the courage, the love and the kindness to come to me and show me Jesus. He said, you don't have to be good enough, Regina. Nobody is. He paid the price for you. In that cross was for me, was for you. He took it. He took the punishment. The punishment for our bad things he took upon him. And because of his death, I could go to heaven. I had future, hope for my future, eternal life. And I accept Jesus as my Savior. And that day, my future, eternal life was secured because of him, not because of me. And that's the power of hope. Hope for our eternal life. Now, can you just close your eyes for one moment? If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you are scared to death, do you believe that he is the Son of God? He came, he died on the cross, so through his death, you can now, today, have this hope, this assurance in your heart that if you die, you are going to heaven. Not because you are good, not because you earn, not because you deserve, but because what he done for you. If you want to, if you want to have this hope to know for sure, just put your hand up and I want to pray for you. If you don't have, if you want this assurance, just say, Jesus, I want this hope. I accept you as my Savior in Jesus' name. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you, Father. Amen. You can close, open your eyes. I want to talk to you afterwards, okay? Now, here, Jesus, Martha had hope for the future. Hope that goes beyond the grave. We know that. Hope goes beyond the grave. Praise Jesus. But also, Jesus brought her attention to a second hope. And our second hope is hope for our present earthly lives. Then Martha left and told Mary that Jesus was in the village. If you see verse 32, Mary and some Jews went to see Jesus. And Mary said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And verse 37, some Jews said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? See, more disappointment coming in the way of Jesus. More disappointment. He met loads of disappointed people. And disappointment always tries to highlight how bad reality is. But guess what? Jesus doesn't pay attention to disappointment. So we shouldn't pay attention to disappointment either. Because disappointment is not an environment where miracles happen. That's why he didn't go to the house. The house was full of mourning people. And I can tell you, disappointment is painful. It is painful. You know, here, it's painful when you are disappointed, when someone disappointed you, or you are going through a disappointment situation. But in verse 33, Jesus saw Mary and the Jews weeping at the loss of Lazarus. It says, Jesus was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And verse 35, I love it, everybody loves, says Jesus wept. Listen, Jesus has no pleasure in seeing you suffer. He has no pleasure. You can read in the Bible, he has no pleasure. Even though he permits us to go through difficult situations, difficult times, he suffers with us. My pain is his pain. Your pain is his pain. You are not alone. He calls us, he takes us to the valley of the shadow of death, but he's there with us. He doesn't abandon us, and you shouldn't feel abandoned because he's there with you. You see, sometimes I thought, God, come on, I've been, you know, I'm so just tired of fighting. Can I not just have like a Disney World, spiritual Disney World? I'm tired of fighting. I say, no, you keep fighting, Regina. You keep going. You have the strength. Okay. In 2010, as I say, disappointment is painful, very painful. And in 2010, Virgin, my second husband there, as everybody knows now, sitting there, he was, we were called to this office in the Royal Free Hospital to see the big guy, the big professor. And you know, when the professor calls you, it means you're in trouble. If you're not, the GP sees you or someone else. And we went, and he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Now, you know, cancer is not nice, but if you put pancreatic together, you think, gosh. And he was given 3% chance of survival. 3%, just 3. As we sat there with a big professor, he was massive, really, literally. And he was started telling us the whole thing, the procedure, the 10 hours major operation he had to go through. And because it was in the pancreas, they would have to remove part of it. He probably, maybe, would have diabetes, but they would have to remove part of the stomach and this and that and that. And so many, he has nothing inside here because they removed everything. But as the professor was telling us all that, what's going to happen, honestly, you know, the boxing that I told you, that's why God showed me that as a boxing match, was as if Mayweather did this to me. Hit me on the face. Disappointment hit me so hard that I couldn't think. The only thing I thought was, God, I cannot go through all that again. you know, the doctor was talking to her. I wasn't listening. I was just talking up here with God. Say, I can't. I honestly can't go through all that again. Remember, I was a widow when I was 28. And as I said to God, I can't go through all that again. A second thought came to my mind. I said, he can't die. What are people going to say about me? They are going to say I'm killing them all. Honestly. Have you met anybody so selfish? That was me thinking. People are going to call him the Black Widow or something. Because that's what I thought. What are people going to say about me? What are they going to say? And my poor husband was beside me, you know. Bless him. But I am being honest with you. That's what I thought. That's what the first thing came to my mind. You can't, God. That's a joke. But I wasn't. We left the professor's office, went home. What do you do when you got news like that? I don't think we spoke. We just went home and we just said, look, we have to pray. We have to find out what's going on. We have to get something from God. And we did pray. We went and we prayed. And God spoke in his kindness. He spoke to both of us. And to Virgin, he said a word that's very similar to this passage. He said, this sickness is not into death. And that was the word that Virgin woke upon for a year. That took him a year to recover after the operation. And for me, he said, be strong, be courageous. You will see my glory. And so I tried to be strong, to be courageous. And one thing I know, we saw his glory because he's still here with us. 7 years later, praise God. Praise God. You know, when God gives out, that's what disappointment does. Disappointment tries to overshadow the word that God spoke over your life. You know, if God spoke something over your life, trust him. No matter what's going on, don't set your life upon disappointment, but set your life upon the word of God, what he has spoken to you. He will fulfill. He will fulfill because he's faithful. And that's what he did to me and to Virgin. And now the next one, running out of time. And that's the hope that Jesus wants for us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the death. You can put the next one. Now, if through Jesus' death, we find hope for our eternal lives. Through his resurrection, we find hope for our earthly lives. We don't have to live with disappointment pushing us down as miserable people. We are people who have been birthed in a living hope, a new hope. And because he is alive, Jesus is alive. He's not dead. He came back to life. Our hope is alive because he lives in us. And that's the power of the resurrection of Jesus, that we live our lives hoping that something good will happen. Every morning when you open your eyes, you have the expectation something good will happen because he's alive. And that's the hope, that's the power in us that gives us strength to get up from the bed every morning. Because if you have no hope, if you're hopeless, you have no desire to get up. What for? Is that not true? What for? If the hope is dead in our heart. But because he's alive, hope is alive in us as well. And we have to fight for it. Quickly, the verse 38 says, Jesus is standing outside the tomb and tells them to remove the stone from the grave where Lazarus' body was. And then Martha came, and she again, she has a big mouth. She said, but Lord, said Martha, poor thing. She was just pouring her heart. We are the same, aren't we? I am. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad smell, for he has been there for 4 days. And again, disappointment strikes. You know what disappointment does as well? Blocks out the glory of God. Disappointment's fighting, so the glory of God won't be seen. And that's why we have to fight for hope. Because hope, that's what brings glory to the Father. And then hope speaks out in verse 40. Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" And here Jesus is teaching us something very powerful. He's teaching us that hope looks to the invisible with expectation and assurance that something good will happen. Hope and faith, they walk hand in hand. You see, hope and faith, they walk hand in hand. And that's what hope does. And in verse 41 and 43, Jesus prayed and called Lazarus back to life. Hallelujah. But in verse 44, he said, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Take off the grave clothes and let him go. I really do believe that God today wants to show his glory in each one of our lives. And I believe that the Lord wants to do two things for us today. The first one is, he's asking us, me and you, to remove the stone from our hearts. The hardness, maybe, that's keeping disappointment in our hearts. And let the Lord heal our wounds from whatever has disappointed you. Remove. Don't be scared if it smells bad. Don't feel. Jesus is not scared of bad smell. Just remove the stone from your heart. Let him to come in. Let him to go deep into your heart and heal the wounds that's there. Maybe you've been disappointed a long time ago and disappointment grew into something deeper, unforgiveness. Let him come. Take. He won't do it unless you allow him. He's such a gentleman, such a kind father. He wants you to remove. Say, "Come, Jesus. I'm opening my heart. Go deep. Let the Holy Spirit bring up whatever is in your heart." Secondly, he wants to take off our grave clothes of disappointment so we can be free. It's powerful being free. When you are free from anything, any disappointment, any hurts, any bruises, you are such a powerful tool in God's hands. Because the next verse, in Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And that's what he wants to do for you and me today. He wants to exchange the pain, the sadness, the hopelessness in our hearts with joy and peace. So hope can overflow. Hope can overflow from us. So when people see you this afternoon, you see maybe you are going through a very difficult time, but you have hope in your heart. You have peace. You have joy. They'll see, "Why? Why do you have this hope in you?" And you say, "Because he's alive. Jesus is alive. He's in me. I have hope." Amen? Now, that's what I believe Jesus wants us to do today. I really want to talk to you. If you are going through a very long process, waiting for something, you know, the waiting can be very painful, discouraged, and disappointment can hit hard. If you've been waiting for something for a long time, thinking maybe Jesus doesn't care, that's a lie. He cares. He cares, and today he wants to bring hope alive into your heart. Let's stand together. And as we worship Jesus, let him go deep into your heart. And if you've been disappointed, if you are disappointed, say, "God, come, please, and heal me." And allow him to take the grave clothes of disappointment, the sadness, the pain. Give it to him and he'll give you joy and peace.
Let's close our eyes and let's look to Jesus. Regina's really given us something really wonderful to receive today. And it's a personal thing. It's not about the person behind you, next to you. It's between you and Jesus. Just let's personally look to him. Look to Jesus today. Fix your thoughts on Jesus.
So the song we're going to sing is called Take Courage, and we were singing it last week, and so you might not know the words, and so if you don't want to follow the words, if you just want to close your eyes and just let God work in your heart, then that's fine. But it talks of take courage in your heart, stay steadfast, my soul, he is in the waiting. Wonderful. This morning, as we were praying, one of the people that was praying was just praying, Lord, let me breathe you in this morning so that I can breathe you out on people that are around me. And that so struck me. This morning, we've got an opportunity to breathe God in as we stand and focus on him, as we sing songs to him, as we listen to his word to us today. We breathe God into our hearts, and then when he's in our hearts, he's very easy to breathe out on people around us. And that's what really matters, isn't it, during the week, that we've got love for our families and our flatmates, that we've got kindness and patience flowing out of our lives. And so this morning, there's an opportunity to breathe God in as we worship him. Breathe him in so that you've got him to breathe out on for the rest of the week. If you'd like to stand, I'm going to sing some praises.
Come and stand before your maker. Fantastic, fantastic. I wonder if you grab yourselves a seat. Big, big welcome this morning. I know there's some visitors here amongst us, so big welcome to you today. Grab yourself a seat. Today, it's a lovely day. It's a sunny day. It's great to get together today. The wonderful Sunday to be able to gather as God's people. It's a special day, but it's a very special day for one person whose birthday it is. And so we're going to sing happy birthday to Joanna. So where's Joanna? Come down the front, please, Joanna. Here she is. Give her a big warm round of applause as she comes down. Whoa, fantastic. Fantastic. So Joanna, big loud voice, how old are you today?
I'm 8 years old.
Hey, fantastic. Do you remember what it's like to be eight? Can you remember? All the life that she's got ahead of her, what a wonderful privilege it is. All that God's got for you, Joanna, ahead. And I think we've got a lovely big cake coming your way. I think there's eight candles. I think they're trying to just make sure, count them up, check that there are really eight. Here it comes. Are you ready? Come on, guys, bring it down, please. It can't take 10 teenagers to organise a cake, surely. Come on, guys. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Joanna. Happy birthday to you. Fantastic. The size of that cake is enormous. Fantastic. Anyone else's birthday here today? No. Joanna, don't go yet. Come on. Just 1 minute before you. Let's just reach out a hand of blessing and let's bless her on this special day. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Joanna. Thank you, Lord, that now she's eight. And Lord, all the years that she's got by your grace ahead to serve you, love you, know you, walk with you. We pray, Lord, for this year ahead that you would bless her, strengthen her, give her health, help her at school, help her with her friends, help her to know you more. We pray, Lord, that the love and the power of Jesus would be in her and flow through her. And all God's people said, amen. Give her a big round. Well done. Fantastic. Yesterday was a special day for Lily, as many of you know. I know very few of us were able to go along to the day, so Bina's going to come and give us a bit of a highlight of what happened yesterday with Lily and getting married?
Oh, I'm lucky to be alive. My feet are killing me. Heels are not my strong point. I should amend. So Vans and Foxes. So basically, it was amazing. We all cried, buckets, and I thought, why am I crying? I felt weird. I was like, looking back, where's the tissues? Like, don't be embarrassing. So basically, this child got square. Yeah, so loads of photos. There's so many, and so many to go on social media this afternoon. I have to look for my phone because there's so many. But yeah, they have a lovely day, lovely dancing, and I don't want to cry. But loads of people were there, so like, thanks to Paul for doing the service and everything, because it was brilliant. And also, because obviously Lily and Duncan right now they're in doing a VIP breakfast in Gatwick Airport. So they're not going to be here. And they're flying to Lanzarote. So I do want to ask people to pray about the journey, because obviously Lily and Duncan is not 100% well, and obviously Duncan with his medical as well. So just to pray for them. Also, Elaine, I don't know where Elaine is. Elaine, thanks to Elaine, because everyone kept on asking me, who done that cake? Who done that cake? Is she here? I was like, yep, Elaine, she's here. They wanted her business cards, but she doesn't do business. So what we've arranged is there's cake at the back for people that didn't turn up, but just a massive thank you for, people that didn't come. It was just like nice to, because I've got loads of alcohol and all sorts in my house, so of their wedding, had to massive clear out with all their presents and stuff. They left it last minute. But just thank you to everyone. On behalf of Lily and Duncan, just thank you so much. Thank you.
Fantastic, Bina. Thank you. So at the back is the middle tier of the wedding cake that Lily's given to us. So we're going to have a grab a piece at the end of today. Today, after today's service at 1 o'clock, we've got the ECOS. Looking forward, it's such a privilege to welcome the people that are new in this country, maybe don't speak any English and want to make friends and want to speak English. And so after today's service, if you never come along, it's an opportunity today to come on, give it a try out. It's 1 hour from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. And it's an opportunity just to talk to and make friends with. There's no agenda except just to chat and talk to the folks who've arrived who really want to talk. It's not hard because they want to talk. And it's just great. We're welcoming folks to this country. So that's going to be in the room. GGB and Bob, could you stand up a minute? Bob's going to be in charge. And Regina and also Vidon, can you stand up, please, too? If you want to ask any questions, are these the people to ask who will be leading it today? And Sarah as well. There you go. Sarah will be leading it. So that's going to be today after the meeting. Just to mention that if you see, there's some tins. I can see some tins and packets underneath the information point. Basically, from now until December, we're collecting food for Food Bank. Food Bank, which runs at Chalk Farm, we support it with some of the people in the church work with Food Bank. And there's people in Camden who are in crisis and who need food for whatever reason, haven't got any money, haven't got any food. And so it's an opportunity to help practically. It's Christians. It's a Christian charity. It's a way to touch the lives of people and to practically do something this time of year. So there's only four things are needed that they're on the information sheet here, and if you could bring those just put them under the information point any Sunday before Christmas so we can ship them there, that would be great. Not next Sunday, but the Sunday after, it's a church lunch. So not next Sunday, but the Sunday after, which is the 19th. It's a special event, special service, and we're having lunch together. So please bring a main course, bring a dessert, because we're going to enjoy some lovely food together after service. That's not next week, but the week after. Now, today we've got a special treat, and so the teenagers, Tribe and Ablaze, are staying in, but Flame and the youngsters, the preschool, are making a move. So if you're in that age category... No, sorry, one more thing. Before we go, there's one thing I forgot. I'm sorry, Michelle. How could I forget? Michelle's our nearest neighbour, our nearest and dearest. She feels free to pop in any time. And she does. No, 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 no.
I had breakfast this morning round there. I had a blister on my heel, so I had to go round for a plaster very early on in the morning. I knew they'd be up. Anyway, our verse today for November, I've printed them out and they're at the back because some people have been asking for a printed copy. And Sally's mum, who lives in Chelmsford, needs a copy, so there's some at the back. Because she's learning them as well. So this one is from Romans chapter 8, verse 1 to 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the spirit of something, the life? The law of the life. Anyway, yes, there we go. The law and the spirit of life. Yes, need to learn it. Has set you free from the law of sin and death. In fact, on the words it says fin and death, but never mind. Sorry about that. But I have to say, it's brilliant to be free of condemnation. You know, when you're not guilty, you're like a feather floating up. You know, light and free. And that's how God makes us. And on Friday, I was typing out all the verses and putting little pictures in at work. And... oh, yes, in the lunch break. And I was loving it because it was like food to my soul. In fact, I didn't eat any food at lunchtime on Friday. And Barbara knows I'm the first one into the kitchen and I've usually eaten lunch before the lunch break. So God can really fill your heart with his words and change you forever. And me. Amen.
Fantastic. Brilliant. So if you're in Tribe, can you come? Michelle's got some special treats for you here. So if you can Tribe, come and sit down here. The Flame are making a move now. So Flame, head out the door. And if you're preschool, any preschool children, head out the door to Sunbeams.